It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 14th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Some of the things that are supposedly about to disrupt our near future, virtual reality, self-driving cars, require some pretty serious hardware. And at the center of that hardware are pretty serious chips. So maybe no surprise that Intel, a company known for putting chips in computers, is paying $15 billion for the company Mobileye. Here to tell us more is Johanna Buya of Recode. Hi, Johanna.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. So Mobileye is a sensor company, right? Give me some details on their products.
Yeah, so Mobileye is an automotive supplier that manufactures self-driving technology like sensors, cameras. But more recently, they've actually started developing things like chips that help the self-driving system analyze the data that they get out of the cameras. And they've also created a system that helps the self-driving car kind of make decisions.
And this acquisition is kind of about Intel and Mobileye being able to sell a kind of like total package.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of a little bit different than what traditional automotive suppliers used to do. Every automaker works with hundreds of suppliers. Each one typically provides one aspect of a vehicle.
Brake pads, windshield wipers, et cetera, right?
Yes, tires, every little thing in your car is typically from a different supplier. And until recently, that's been the case even in the autonomous space.
Right.
Now, you know, companies like Intel and Mobileye, they had a partnership about a year ago. Other companies like Delphi are partnering with Mobileye. And that's all because it's becoming increasingly competitive.
Intel's rival Qualcomm made a similar acquisition last year, right? But why aren't these big companies innovating themselves or just making new departments to make new kinds of chips? Why are they acquiring instead?
They know what they're good at, and I think it's an acknowledgement that they're probably better off working with a company that has been doing this for a very long time. Mobileye has been around since 1999 and is actually one of the leaders in the industry. And so it makes a lot more sense to work with a company that has the skill set, has the engineering talent, and now has the partnerships across the industry as opposed to starting from scratch.
Johanna Buya is Senior Transportation Editor at Recode. Johanna, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
While we are on the topic of vehicles and tech today, a story from London caught our eye recently. Uber, whose ride-hailing app has been threatening the venerated black cab business in London, lost a court case. It was fighting against a requirement from the city's transport authority that all drivers need to take an English language test. Uber went to court over this because the test seemed poised to hurt its business in London. Here to talk more is our friend Arun Sundararajan from NYU Stern School of Business. Arun, thanks for coming by. Is this going to impact Uber's bottom line?
I think that this will hit Uber drivers hard because, as you know, if you've been in an Uber in London or in New York or in LA, a significant fraction of these drivers are recent immigrants who may be challenged by an English language or a writing test.
I guess part of the frictionlessness of the app is also that you can put in your destination ahead of time. So theoretically, you wouldn't even have to talk to the person whose car you're getting into, right?
In many ways, this is one of the professions where a complete absence of communication between the service provider and the service receiver is theoretically possible. But I guess people like to chat, and people like to chat with their London cabbies. So maybe they want that from their Uber drivers as well.
Driving a black cab in London has a deep history behind it, right? By imposing more regulations, is London protecting the nature of that job, or is this just the cab driving lobby trying to keep people from entering the workforce?
I think it's a little bit of the cabbies' collective protecting their turf. But there also is some logic to the fact that you need a greater knowledge base to drive in London than, say, in New York. What's troubling is the fact that it's the English language test that has become the point of contention. If, for example, we had been told that Uber drivers need to take a navigation test, I would have considered that a lot more reasonable.
By putting more protections in place, how does this relate to how we feel about our jobs?
Well, I think we're at a point in time where the level of uncertainty that people who have full-time jobs feel is perhaps greater than it's ever been. anytime you see an example where an existing form of work is protected in some way, I think that gives people a sense of comfort. I worry that this will be a false sense of comfort in some sense.
Because it's temporary?
Because it's temporary and because it's not generalizable. There's no guarantee that that's going to carry over to the manufacturing jobs, to the financial compliance jobs, to the retail jobs.
Arun Sundararajan, he's author of the book, The Sharing Economy. He's also a professor at NYU. Arun, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Ben. Always a pleasure.
And in a little over a month, on April 22nd, Earth Day, people will organize and participate in the March for Science on Washington, D.C. The message, that good science is not a partisan issue. In the meantime, some of the same people are trying to organize more scientists to get into politics. One of those people, Shaughnessy Naughton. She's founder of 314 Action, a group that is working to help scientists run for office so that they can fight for causes they believe in from the inside.
We've seen that politicians seem to really delight in mocking basic research that they frankly don't understand and therefore don't think it's important. And it is quite important, because that's how we get iPhones and cures to cancer, is by making those basic investments.
If you want to learn more about Naughton's organization, they are at 314.org. By the way, it is Pi Day, as in the number, not the food. Happy Pi Day. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.